Lord, let us receive your message with open hearts. Amen. Good morning again. It is a pleasure to be with you this morning. This is the week of Christian Unity, an annual initiative whereby Christian communities throughout the world are invited to pray for one another and for greater Christian unity. I have to admit, this is my very first time preaching the word in a church of Scotland. Thank you. And I have to admit, I feel so welcome here. So thank you for your kindness and your hospitality. It's good to worship with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Steve and I moved from Glasgow to Largs in June of last year. And we have totally fallen in love with our congregation, with our community, our neighbors, and the beauty of the landscape that surrounds us. As you can probably tell by my accent, I grew up in South Carolina. That is a state in the southern part of the United States. It's about a third of the border of South Carolina is on the shoreline. It's right above Florida. Growing up, my family spent our holidays, like many people do, at the beach. Myrtle Beach, Edisto Beach, Folly Beach. And those beaches are quite different from the beaches at Largs. In South Carolina, the beaches are sandy. Large stretches of pale, fine sand. And the dunes are lined with tall, green seagrass and palms. The sand is warm. In fact, it can get really hot, and you'll see little kids and adults kind of running down the sand to get to the water to cool their feet off. And the water is typically warm, too. So that's another difference. When we were kids, my brother and I hunted those beaches for shark's teeth and other things like unique shells and sand dollars and things, but shark's teeth, that was the big treasure. I had a cousin with three names, still have a cousin, Bubba, Tom Jr., and Little Tom, which is kind of funny because he ended up being the giant of the family, and he's almost 7 feet tall. My brother and I called him Bubba. And Bubba lived in Myrtle Beach, and he could spot shark's teeth like no one I've ever known. It's like he had superhuman vision. He could just spot them from yards away. And he had this huge mason canning jar full of them in his room. I was always jealous of that. Now, unlike the beaches that I grew up going to in South Carolina, Largs is a little different. They're mostly rocks with pebbles and a little bit of sand kind of scattered between. And the sand in the water is always cold, even in the summertime. The beaches in Largs are just as beautiful as the beaches I grew up in South Carolina, just as beautiful. They're just different. And don't even get me talking about the sunsets and Largs, absolutely spectacular. So instead of shark's teeth in Largs, I now search for sea glass. During the first couple of months we were in Largs, Steve and I would walk every day down the beaches at low tide, searching for sea glass hidden between the rocks, just peeking through some sand, these beautiful pieces of sea glass. And in case you don't know, which you probably do, sea glass is physically and chemically weathered glass found on beaches along bodies of salt water. I've read that it takes a minimum of 40 years, sometimes as many as 100 years, for sea glass to become soft and smooth around the edges. Can you imagine that? 4 to 10 decades of salt and sand being tossed around to soften the jagged edges and turn shards of broken glass into unique treasures. This morning we're going to be looking at the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John is unique because it's not one of the Synoptic Gospels. The Synoptic Gospels are, of course, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and they're called that because they tell pretty much the same story. Jesus' life, teachings, his ministry, with just a few differences. In the Synoptic Gospels, Jesus' ministry and life are described in terms of the miracles that were performed, his attitude towards the poor and the oppressed, his power to cast out demons and to heal the sick, and his instructions concerning the way people should live in view of the imminence of the coming of the kingdom. Generally speaking, the Synoptic Gospels tell us what Jesus said and did. The Synoptic Gospels see things similarly. That's what synoptic means. But unlike the Synoptic Gospels that tell us what Jesus did, the Gospel of John tells us who Jesus is. John doesn't begin his gospel with the birth of Christ, like Matthew and Luke. In fact, he doesn't even mention the nativity story or Mary and Joseph's trip to Bethlehem at all. Instead, he goes all the way back to the origin of the universe and starts with, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God." John gets all philosophical and kind of, if I'm honest, a little bit weird. Little bit out there. The Gospel of John is filled with metaphors and illustrations that describe Jesus, like bread of life, living water, light of the world, the door, the good shepherd. John tells us who Jesus is, the incarnated Word of God, bringing grace and truth. John clearly states the purpose of his gospel in chapter 20, verse 31. "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." John tells us who Jesus is and who we become by believing in him. The Gospel of John is unique, and you'll see John's uniqueness shine through in our scripture today. In today's passage, John 17, 20 through 26, the text presents Jesus interceding with the Father on our behalf. In verses 20 through 21, we read, "I pray not only for them, but also for those who believe in me because of their message. I pray that they may all be one, that all of them may be one." The text continues with this theme of oneness. "May they be one, so that the world will believe that you sent me." Jesus prays for oneness. Now, I don't know how many of you are on social media, specifically Facebook, but I can't really think of an outlet more perfect for showing the divisiveness and disunity between friends and family. People argue about those ridiculous things. In fact, I saw a post the other day. People were arguing over whether grape or strawberry jam was better on a peanut butter sandwich. Hundreds of people had chimed in with their opinions and reasoning for that opinion, and there were more than a few flat-out heated arguments about it. So with all the differing opinions and ways of voicing them, how can we show unity, oneness, when we don't even agree on what jam is best on a sandwich? I like peanut butter and grape, by the way. I think Steve is a strawberry sandwich. We still love each other, though. There are those in society, even some within our own family, that want nothing to do with the church because they see the division, the disunity between the followers of Christ within the church, where there should be unity. But see, here's the beauty of what Jesus is praying for. Oneness, unity. It doesn't mean uniformity. It doesn't mean we all have to look alike. I mean, can you imagine what the world would look like if we all looked the same? Unity is coming together. Unity is overcoming our differences, finding common ground and common goals in the name of Jesus and working towards them together. Unity is respecting diversity within the body of Christ. Each person feeling that he or she has a place that's essential to the well-being of the whole body. And there's one ingredient that makes this kind of unity possible, and that's love. I made you known to them, and I will continue to do so, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and so that I also may be in them. Love is the key to finding unity in our unique diversity. The idea is not to be the same person or to think the same thoughts, believe the same things, but that God's love is big enough to encompass all of our unique differences and bring us together in love so that then we can go out and show God's love to the world. And just like each piece of sea glass is unique, different ages, different colors, different shapes. Some have spent more time in the sea and have been tossed around a lot by the waves, whereas some are brand new with really sharp edges. We're all unique in God's kingdom, refined and polished by the movement of the Spirit as we grow in grace. Each with different characteristics, different gifts and graces that make us unique and necessary to the building of the kingdom. And what bonds us is a God who so loved the world that he sent his only Son. May we cherish our uniqueness in unity as we build the kingdom together and show God's love to the whole world.